Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are completing an amazing series of studies on stewardship, practical instruction for faithful stewards, followers of Jesus. And today we want to look at the characteristics of faithful stewards and the results that we will see in their lives. And I know you'll be blessed as we study together. And if you missed anything in this series, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Watch the whole series, and I know that it will help you to live as a faithful steward in these last days of Earth's history. So welcome, and welcome to the team. What's the most important lesson you've learned in this series?
Stay focused.
Stay focused.
Trust.
Trust. Keep God first. Love relationship with Him. We're going to see what the results are of faithful stewardship in our lives today. And we're glad you're with us. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Here's a note from Dennis in Kenya. And Dennis says, I'm so proud of Hope Sabbath School. I go to a church in Kenya, Assembly of God. And it's a Sunday service. But when I listen to you, I'm fed in the Spirit and growing. You're doing a wonderful job. I consider you my brothers and sisters onward to heaven. I'm praying that I can start a TV channel based on sound doctrine, love, and faith in Christ.
Amen.
Well, we're glad you're inspired, Dennis. Thanks for writing to us from Kenya. And God is raising up His people, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, who will follow Him every aspect of their lives, trusting wholly in Him. We're glad you're part of His people. Here's a note from Jolie in Connecticut in the United States of America. She says, I'm 12 years old. And I try to watch Hope Sabbath School every Sabbath to see what I can learn from it.
Amen.
Even though you're adults and I might not understand all of your trials and tribulations, I love to hear you share your testimonies and to study the Word of God with you. Amen?
Amen.
How old was Jesus when He began to understand His mission?
12.
12 years old, Jolie. Glad you're studying the Word of God with us. May God bless you to be a powerful woman of God. With the blessing of His Holy Spirit. Here's a note from a donor in Washington, D.C. I don't mention their names, but I just want to say thank you to those of you who are supporting this faith-based ministry. We couldn't do it without you. You're investing in the kingdom when you lay up treasure in heaven. I'm enclosing a donation, the donor writes. I'm enjoying Hope Sabbath School every week. Such a pleasure to see this group in action. May God continue to bless you and the team in preparing for the soon coming of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we talked about in our last study. First-time donor, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So thank you for partnering with us in this ministry. Angela writes to us from Norway. Has anybody here been to Norway? Me, okay? Beautiful country. Angela writes, she says, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm writing from Norway to thank you all for the inspiring Hope Sabbath School programs. I'm not always able to get to church, but these programs bless me. I watch them on my app, on my Android phone. So for those of you that have an Android phone or an Apple phone, we have an app for both. You can download the app from your app store. It's free. We know that the app that Angela's using is being used in 150 countries around the world. So tell your friends, if you see them walking around, and say, why don't you put Hope Sabbath School app on your phone? Amen?
Amen?
Angela's doing it. She's watching. God bless you as you work to reach out to people around the world, bringing the true gospel message to those who are seeking truth. Amen? Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your testimony from Norway, Angela. We are very happy to hear from you. Here's a note from, one last note from California, from the United States of America. We love Hope Sabbath School, write Victor and Pamela. Watching on Friday evenings is part of our family Sabbath tradition. We use the outline to follow along. So, you know, I don't know if you've looked yet, but you can take the same outline that we'll be using for our study today, and you can print out this outline from the website. You can follow along while you're watching the program, or You can start an interactive Bible study in your own community. Many are doing that. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and download the outline. Well, they use it. Victor and Pamela continue. We often find ourselves humming the scripture songs. They bring peace, joy, hope, and encouragement. We have the Hope Sabbath School app. Oh, they have the app too. But they have it on their tablets. That's, you know, like an iPad or a tablet. So we don't miss, even when we're away from home. Amen. Just push the app, open up your smiling face. You're a blessing to us. We feel we are part of the family. Amen. Well, Victor and Pamela, we feel like you're part of our family too. As part of the Global Hope Sabbath School family, they conclude with love in Christ. We extend God's love back to you. Isn't it amazing how broad the Hope Sabbath School family is? And I'm so thankful for the technology. You know, it was a donor in England that said, I'll not only donate, but I'll develop the app for you for the Apple devices. And then it was two young people in California who said, we'll develop the Android app for you. It's been a miracle all the way along. And you're part of that miracle. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being part of this Bible study community. And you know, as we begin our study today, we have to just praise Him with our whole hearts, don't we? And I love the scripture song that's the theme for this series. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Let's sing it together.
My whole heart, I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You know, I can tell when the Word of God is really taking hold in my mind when I wake up and I'm singing the songs. Not loud enough to wake my wife, but just in my mind, you know. And I think there's a wonderful thing about before going to sleep, just focusing your mind. The Bible says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, you know, I'm quoting a scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or anything praiseworthy, focus or meditate on these things. Yeah. And that's what we're doing in Hope Sabbath School, too. Amen. So we're glad you're part of our team. We want to focus on that which is good as we talk with joy about the results of faithful stewardship in our study today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to open your holy word. You spoke through the prophets, and most clearly, you spoke through your Son, the Word of God made flesh, Jesus. You spoke life-giving word through Him. As we study today the results of being a faithful steward of the mysteries of God, a faithful steward of the gifts of God, not to earn your favor, but because we are your redeemed children, that you loved us and love us with an everlasting love. I pray that joy would come to each heart, each Hope Sabbath School member as we're joining, maybe some for the first time, that we may see the beautiful plan that you have for each one of us, now and forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, what are some of the results of faithful stewardship? We could probably make a very long list. But in our study, we've got five. So I'll get some emails saying there's a sixth one and a seventh. But let's look at what are some of the results of walking as a faithful steward. And the first one is godliness. Mm-hmm. Godliness. What does that mean, godliness? Anybody? Kenneth, what does godliness mean?
Like God-likeness.
God, okay, literally, God likeness. In other words, we
imitating
reflect
character.
The character of God. Amen. That somehow, as broken as we are, as imperfect as we are, the beautiful character of God, though maybe dimly, is yet revealed. Now, I want to take us to two passages which suggest some people claim godliness, but it's not genuine. And then we want to talk about what the genuine looks like. That's one of the results of faithful stewardship. So go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And I'm not going to have you read all five verses, actually. It talks about in the last days perilous times will come and all kinds of things are happening. If you read it, it sounds like today. But Stephanie, I'd just like to go to verse 5, because in this collection of talking about these troubled or perilous times of the last days, it talks about, well, let's see what it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5.
All right. And the King James Version says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
What does that tell you about these people? Yes,
Tigger. They're pretentious.
They're pretentious. Mm-hmm. They're pretending. Anybody else?
They're ingenuine.
Ingenuine? Are they claiming to be followers of God?
They are.
Yeah, they have a form of godliness, but
they lack the denial.
It's powerless.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's not only a failure, but what does Paul say?
It's dangerous.
Turn away from them.
Turn away from
it's
them.
Dangerous, Kenneth says. Turn away from those people. That's dangerous, because if people think that's what godliness looks like,
they're going to be lost.
They're going to be lost or led astray.
And not only that, but they'll deceive others, because others are looking to them saying, is this what a Christian is like?
Deceive or be a stumbling block to them,
right?
Another passage we say we don't want to be like this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount speaks about some who also claim a connection with God or godliness. Nicole, do you have verses 21 to 23 of Matthew 7?
Yes. The New International Version says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Wow. They call him Lord, but more than that, what do they claim?
That they were acting in his name.
They performed miracles.
Cast out devils.
Cast out devils.
Many wonders.
In his name.
In his name. Done many
works.
Wondrous works. And what does Jesus say to them?
I don't know you. I never knew you.
I never knew you. Back to in a previous study, that relationship's not there. Right? You have a form, but no power. You have a profession, but no connection.
Right.
So that can't be the godliness that is the result of faithful stewardship. Right? It can't be. Now, Peter speaks about a progression in faith in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 8. I want to look at that passage. Nicole, would you read that for us? 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 8. And please don't think we're working our way to heaven with this ladder. These are redeemed children of God, loving, living connection with God. But we're told to grow. And let's see what that growth would look like, Nicole.
The New International Version for 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 8 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, your translation said, make every effort to add. Mm-hmm. What does that imply?
Be very intentional.
Intentional. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at another verse in 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 and 11. It's intentional. But again, it's intentional in the context of that living relationship with God, right? That loving, living relationship with God. Nancy, 1 Timothy 6, 10 and 11. And then I'm going to ask an important question.
Okay. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Mm-hmm.
So not only run away from
evil,
evil, but
pursue godliness.
Run towards good.
Yes. Yeah.
Pursue godliness.
Yes.
So how do we do that? How do we pursue godliness? Mm-hmm. You said it's a reflection of, it's intentional.
Right.
And it's a reflection of the character of God. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple, I think, but it's not instant, is it?
No.
How do we pursue godliness, Travis?
You become what you behold. So okay. By beholding Jesus, you'll become that. Yeah.
So go back to point one in a previous study, right? Which is to seek God first, right? Right? Always keep my attention upon God, because as I look upon him, my character comes into alignment. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a loving journey.
Right. It is.
Because I'm not trying to save myself. I'm already redeemed. Jonathan?
Yeah, just to expand on that, I think like examining the different aspects of God's character, how he deals with different situations, what he is like, I think, but the more we look at God in a deep and understanding way, the more we can see our own need, our own and desire in our heart is awakened to desire to become like him.
Mm. Mm. To reflect his character, Nicole.
I was going to add to what was said and say we have to practice also. So we ask God for that direction, but then we have to practice it. We can't just say, show me, and then not do it. Mm-hmm. So we have to practice being gentle. Practice
and
being
of course, in the middle of all of that, you will receive power when the
Holy Spirit
comes upon you. Yes. So we're not doing this in our own power,
no. Right?
Because he wants me to be a witness for him. I'm a witness about his character, right? Mm-hmm. And about his plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. And about his love and all of those things. So it's an intentional journey. Now, here's an important question. If there is, in the last days, according to the prophecy, a form of godliness by people who claim to be religious, mm-hmm. how can I differentiate? Not just, I'm not asking you to go in, okay, your form, your genuine, no. But even in my own life, maybe especially in my own life, Tigas. Mm-hmm. How can I make sure it's the genuine experience and not just a hollow form?
In these last days, we are actually warned because such people will come. They'll prophesy, they will do miracles. And so I think we'll go back and test the fruit of these people.
Okay, so if it's someone else, I could test their fruit. What if it's me? How do I know if it's real or if it's just a form? I don't want just a form of godliness. Do you?
No.
No. So we're talking about a result of faithful stewardship is the genuine reflection of the character. How do I know if it's real? Yes. Kenneth.
David says something. He says, "Search me, O God."
Oh, I love that prayer, Kenneth.
Know my heart today.
That's one of my favorite prayers.
If there's any wicked ways in me. then cleanse me. So it is by making ourselves vulnerable for God's searching spirit to search us.
Amen. If someone wants to write that down, Kenneth, that's in Psalm 139 and 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And that's not, that you read the psalm, he loves God. He's saying, God, see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me. So when I pray that prayer, and we talked about first thing in the morning, right? If I want to seek God first, he's going to show me. He's going to say, that looks a little not genuine, right? He's going to point out things in my life, right? I can trust him, right? Okay, I've got to move on because we're looking at quite a few results, but you may be surprised at what we'll discover next in our Bible study today. And that is how people will respond. I'm not talking about the form of godliness or the profession that has no living connection. But actually, if you are reflecting the beautiful character of God, how will people respond? Well, let's look at two verses. One in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16, and the other, a prophecy, actually, by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. Matthew 5, Erica, do you have verse 16? Yes. What does Jesus say one result when people see the character of God revealed? What happens?
Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
That's a great outcome. The people, in spite of how frail we are, limited we are, imperfect we are, would somehow see the character of God revealed. That's the light of Jesus shining out. And what did they do?
Glorify God.
I don't know what happened, but glory to God. Because you're not the person you used to be. Right?
Yeah.
That's the power of a testimony, isn't it? Now, I wish I could tell you that's the only response when people see this result of faithful stewardship, which is godliness in the life. But Paul says there's another response in 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. Kenneth, would you read that for us?
Yeah, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
All who would live godly lives will suffer
persecution.
Why, Sean? Why don't they just leave them alone? Say, well, I choose to live for myself and do evil. You want to live for God. You look like God, actually. I don't mean physically, but I see beautiful characteristics that I hear of God, you know, love, joy, peace. Why would they persecute you for that?
Just the nature of sin. It's just 180 degrees against what God, it's the complete opposite of what God intends for your life. So, I don't know, I mean, it's somewhere it's mentioned like a mystery also, but the way someone's nature is, they don't want to be around someone who will then convict them, maybe without even any words, just by your life. So it tears them apart inside. So that's when they just naturally start to persecute you because for some reason, you're giving them some godly conviction through your life.
Now, we have to move on, but I want to tell you, if you read in John 16, startling, that even religious people will persecute you.
Right.
Because you're reflecting the true character of God. And they will think they are doing God's work. That's startling. But we know from our first text there is a form of godliness and there is this profession but no living connection. Well, I just pray that we can reflect that beauty of his character.
Amen.
And may there be many who will say, glory to God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Second result of faithful stewardship, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Let's read it first and then we'll find out what it is. Travis, do you have 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Okay. So, does godliness lead to contentment? is one the result of the other, would you say?
Yes.
So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I have a living connection with God, right? And his character is being reflected. And I say, that's enough.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, naked I came into the world, naked I'm going to leave. I'm content in God. I'll learn to be content in every other situation. In fact, someone read Philippians 4, verse 11. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. When he had that connection, he was content. Stephanie?
Sure. I'll
be Philippians 4:11?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
Now you might say, well, that's easy, you know. I mean, he was an apostle and, you know, I got lots of problems. Let me just pause and say, where was he when he was writing this Philippian letter?
In prison.
He was in prison, right? He said, my chains, right? So he's learned to be content. So how do we learn contentment? You say it's easy when things are going really well. But when everything's falling apart, Christopher, I mean, I don't know if you've had a day like that. You know, I think on planet Earth, we will all have a day like that, won't we?
Yep.
You say we have weeks like that, right? When it just seems like one thing after another. And how do I stay content? Tented in God when all of those things are falling apart.
I think it really does have to do with keeping your focus on Jesus because it helps you keep perspective. Because you realize, and it's the things that we've talked about before in terms of keeping Jesus first, keeping your focus on him, and looking forward to the things that are to come, everything in this world is going to pass by. So even this body that I'm in is something that's going to pass away eventually. So it's so important for me to keep that in perspective. Even my family members at some point are more than likely going to leave this world unless, God willing, they see the Jesus coming in the clouds. But when I keep that in perspective and keep that hope that I will see them again in the future and that all things will be made good and well and perfect in the future, then that will help me make it through these trials and I can be content holding on to the things of God and letting go of the things that are in the world.
Yeah. Are there any Bible promises, we're not going to read them, I just want you to quote them if you know them, that would come to mind that would help stabilize you? Because it's not easy when things are falling apart all around you, is it? But would enable you to stay content in God, trusting that loving relationship with him. Erica, is the one?
Endure to the end, and I'll give you a crown of life.
Okay. That's you'd see that as a promise, too.
Yes.
Okay. Not just a command.
Right.
Right? It's like, I've got the crown of life for you here, you know, and you are going to make it to the end. So hold on. All right? Yeah. Another promise? Tigis?
I will never leave you nor forsake
you. Oh, I love that one. That's beautiful, isn't it? I will never leave you. That's quoted again in Hebrews 13 from the Old Testament. I'll never leave you or forsake you.
All things work together for good.
Give me the full of that because some people go, I don't know. That's not true. That's not true. But you didn't quote the whole text, did you? It's in Romans 8:28.
Right.
You can quote it from memory if you like. For we know that
all things work together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose.
And you know what it says after that? What shall we say to these things?
If God is for us,
who can be against us?
He who did not spare his own son, this is verse 32. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Yeah. So there's that perspective again. Yeah. You know, this isn't the end of the story.
Right.
If I remember that, I can be content in whatever situation I find myself. Well, you know, I think contentment is a great challenge in our culture. I don't know about you, but it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that advertisers are deliberately trying to make you
discontented.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yes.
To not feel contented because they're constantly saying, you need this. You like that car. What about this car? You know, how do I survive that, Lourdes? You know, bombarded from little children. You know, they advertise on. And I'm not going to name all of the ways they advertise, but even to the little children, oh, mommy, I need that toy, you know? How do we survive when we're bombarded to say, don't be content unless you have this? And when you get it, they say, oh, by the way, it's this now.
Well, I will remember how was my life before Christ. nobody can really fill the void that you have. And sometimes you feel having a car, having a new house, or the family will void the emptiness in our heart. But the only one that is able to fill the hole in our hearts is God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would remember. Everything. You would remember that won't. Yeah. That won't fill the deepest need in my heart. Anybody else? Do I just stay away from all the advertising, Nicole?
Well, you can't, but I think Christopher said it. You have to focus on Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you focus on Christ, all the things of this world grow strangely
dim. That's the hymn, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. In the light of his glory and grace. I think we can stay away from a lot of the advertising. Mm-hmm. The type of media we consume. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, even if you want to watch a wholesome movie, and there may be some that we don't want to watch them all day, right? but I could watch it in a setting where I'm not getting bombarded by advertisements telling and evil things popping up on the screen that's coming up at 10 o'clock that night. I could choose to protect myself to some degree. But many parts of the world, and I don't know where you live, but many parts of the world, including where we live, they have these big signs along the side of the road. And, you know, it's just like constantly we have to choose where to focus our attention, don't we? Godliness, contentment, great gain, Travis. Great gain, right? Godliness, contentment, these are results of faithful stewardship. But I want to go on to one other result, and that is a life of trust, resting, if you will, resting in God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10 speaks about trusting in God. And Haiti, do you have that? Would read it for us, please?
Yes, I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Version. And it says, "For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe."
Okay, your translation, I like that. We have put our hope in the living God. Another translation?
Trust.
What version do you have, Travis?
New King James.
New King James. We have put our trust and our hope. We've put our trust in the living God. What is a reason we might lose our hope? Well, Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Why did he tell them that? What was about to happen?
He was leaving.
He's about to leave, right? Yeah. He's about to die. He was going to rise from the dead, but then he was going to ascend to heaven. Do not let your heart be troubled. You trust God, he said.
Trust also in me.
You can trust me. My Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you, right? And if I go, I will come again. Yeah. So living that life of trust is all based upon the relationship that we have with him. Amen. Yes, Jonathan.
I think you asked what would keep us from that. And I was thinking it's the devil's lies. I mean, it's the devil's lies that he feeds in all these different ways, billboards, whatever, trying to get us to think that something else is our hope, is our whatever. And so replacing the devil's lies with truth. And, yeah.
So when Jesus says, "Come to me, weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." I think that really means link up with me, right? And learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find
rest
for your souls. Learning to rest in him. Does anybody want to share an experience where you learned, I've just got to trust God. I've just got to rest in him. That's an important lesson to learn, isn't it? I've just got to rest in God. Someone, share a story. Anybody? Yes, Christopher.
Well, I have a son, but before he was born, I had a scare. My wife went to the bathroom and there was blood, so we had to rush her to the hospital. And it was a situation where we didn't know what was going on. It was something that was totally out of our hands. And the only thing we could really do was trust God. And we went in and did the sonogram, and the baby was fine. And it's just so interesting because, come to find out, it was something that had happened to her a little while ago. She had a placenta tear, and it was actually old blood that came out. But she was resting that entire week that it actually happened because she was having really bad stomach pains. So if it wasn't for those pains that came and the rest that she would have had, we don't know what could have happened. We could have lost the baby, and we would have had no idea. But that trust and learning that what had happened and what was actually going on with her helped us realize, wow, God is doing things for us when we don't even realize it, even in our pain. So it really helped us increase our trust in God, even in those times where it seems like painful things are happening. Later on, those things could be working in our favor and we don't even know it. You know, so that really helped us with our with trusting.
So, Haiti, I've got a question for you. Some people would go out and get drunk, right? Some people would go out and get high to try to escape by this. What was it that enabled Christopher and his wife to say, we're going to just trust God? This is out of our control. We're trusting. What enabled them to do that?
It sounds like they already had a relationship with God.
The crisis is not the time. Now, can God accept a person if they first come to him in a crisis?
Yes.
Absolutely. But in times when things are not in crisis, that's when we learn. And we see that then reflected in a life of trust. Anyone else, an experience that you went through, you just have to, God, I've just got to trust you. Sean?
So I was studying in college some years ago, and I happened to turn 21. And some of my friends were like, oh, let's go out. And the reality was suggestions were made, and one suggestion came up where it was pretty much like, wait, I can't go there because that's not where I need to be. And keeping it as real as possible, I didn't want to say anything. So I sat in the car for a moment, and I just started to pray. I was like, God, look, I can't go here. I don't even want to be seen here. Anything like that. And it started to rain. And it started to rain really bad. And my friend was like, well, maybe we shouldn't go here. And I'm like,
the Lord of the storm.
And I mean, and there's times where you should speak up. So I don't want to make it seem like you shouldn't. But there's times where you just, you know, to avoid a situation, you really have to just trust God that he will do whatever it is to prevent you or to keep you safe or to do, you know, give you that blessing.
So. Beautiful. I love the Old Testament character, King Jehoshaphat. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's trust, isn't it? Travis, experience. He said, I've just got to trust God.
A couple years ago, I wanted to take a college course, and I had never graduated high school, and so I had to go and get a GED, and so I had 4 weeks until, or 5 weeks until the course started, and they had just elevated the GED scores to college to get you college ready, and I had no time to study. I was running a business. We had 24 crews, 20 people to watch and customers to deal with. And so I just prayed before every test that God would get me through these tests so that I could go and take this college course I wanted to take. And I took the easiest one first, and I prayed first, and I passed it. And the third one I started to take, and it became really difficult, and I'm just praying, and I pass it. The second one, I go to take it, and partway done, and I have to go to the bathroom, so I'm forced to leave, and they won't let me retake the test, so I'd only taken 60% of the test, and so they wouldn't let me back in, and so I left, and I'm upset with God, and I was like, I was doing this for you because I wanted to take a college course in theology, you know, and so I get back to the office, and I turn the computer, and it says that my scores are, and I looked, and it says you passed. And so I had one more test to take. It was the most difficult. And I go back, and I study for 3 hours. It was algebra and trigonometry and all these things that were, I was so far removed from school. And I just had this, you know, oh, ye of little faith, I'm just going to trust in God. He's promised to take care of me. And I went back, and the professor said, you are going to fail this. And I said, no, I'm not. And I prayed about it, and I took the test, and I got back to the office, and our office manager was there, Amanda and Scott, and we had taken the practice test earlier. And he was an architect, so he was good with math, and we failed it. The practice test before he went, he says, if you pass this test, I know God has pointed you in that direction. So we got back to the office, and we're all looking at the computer, and the results come, and we open it up. you passed. Amen. And we all had tears in our eyes. We were sitting there like, wow. And so, you know, now I'm on this journey. So,
so you're not going to become a mathematician. But you trusted God.
I did.
That's a result. We got to move on to our next character. Result. We've talked about godliness. We've talked about contentment and trust. But a result of being a faithful steward is that we will be a positive witness. Mm-hmm. Who was it that said, you know, be a witness, use words if necessary, you know? that your life is a positive witness to those around. Now, we read about the light. You remember that? See your good works, Erica, you read that one. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians. And Lourdes, if you find that and would read it for us. We know it's God's desire that the light of Jesus, He is the light of the world, would shine through us and that people would give glory to our Father in heaven. But this positive witness, which isn't just what we say, right? It's who we are. Mm-hmm. It's who we are.
Amen.
What do you read in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3?
And I will be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and ready by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh, that is, of the heart."
Mm. So you are a text message from God. Well, I guess you choose whether it's from God or not, right? Yeah. Wow. People are looking at you, and the result of faithful stewardship is they see a positive witness.
Yes.
How does that make you feel that you're a letter written for everyone to read? Mm. How does that make you feel? Mm. Stephanie?
It makes me feel like I have quite a bit of responsibility.
Okay.
To my fellow man and to God.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of responsibility. Okay. But it's the Spirit's doing the writing. Yeah. Yeah. Not you.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Humble. Right. Oops. Just lost that one. The Spirit's doing the writing, but it is a responsibility. Yeah. Anybody else? How does it make you feel, Tigis? That you
to be accountable and accountable to God.
You're accountable to God?
For your life.
Anybody think it's an awesome honor?
Yeah.
Be a letter, Christopher?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. I feel like it's an honor and relieving because I don't have to write the letter.
Yeah.
Ah. So I don't. I don't have to worry about, you know, this people seeing me and using the right words. I can rely on God and His goodness to shine through me, and I don't have to rely on me. I get to rely on someone else to do it. So and it's God. It's not like it's just some Joe Schmo down the street, you know, it's the king of the universe.
Whatever you want to write, God.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Whatever you want to write. Yes, Erica.
It is a big responsibility, and I feel the responsibility as well. And so it makes me feel like I need to keep that connection open with God all the time because, you know, we have our spiritual highs and our spiritual lows. And sometimes I walk through the grocery store or I'm in school or something, and, you know, I think if I'm not connected with God, who is missing a chance to get to know Him or read that letter from Him if I'm not, if I don't keep that channel open for Him to flow through? So.
Yeah. I want to tie in with the if I'm not connected with God, and the positive is if I am connected with God, right? I want to hold that because I want to take us to John 15. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful passage. And Christopher, I love what you said there, that this is God's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take that over to the vine and the branches, it's God's fruit, mm-hmm. not our fruit, right?
Right.
It's God's fruit, but it's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
And let's see who could read that for us. Christopher, could you read it in John 15? The whole chapter is the vine and the branches, but verses 5 through 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. By the way, you don't become his disciple, but you prove. There is evidence of that living connection that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. So important. What word came through over and over again there?
Abide.
Yeah. Some translations, remain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at the grafting of a branch into a vine, that's like a living connection, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. A living connection that there will be this positive influence. Can you think, is there a Bible character that blesses your life and you say, well, there's a living connection. I mean, mm-hmm. that person's life was a positive influence to people around her, people around him. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Kenneth?
I think about Job.
Job?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is someone that all the time comes to mind.
In spite of all of the terrible things that happened to him.
He's so mm-hmm. abiding God.
Mm-hmm. So, though he slay me, I will trust in him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I know my Redeemer lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a great example in the midst of hardship, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Someone else, Tigist.
I always admire Enoch.
Enoch?
Yes, mm-hmm. and he was lifted up and he was perfect in his ways, always connected to God until he took him.
Positive influence on those around him as long as he was there. right? And then the Bible says he was not, for God took him. So he was translated, mm-hmm. was taken to heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Along with later Elijah, the prophet, who was caught up in a fiery chariot. But while he was here, maybe it's not as important how long we're here.
That's true.
Yeah. But our witness while we're here.
Amen. Amen.
Can you think of someone in the Bible that wasn't here for very long?
Jesus.
right. Yeah. I don't know if anybody here is 33 years old, but you just ran out of time. yes. Wow. Short. Anybody else? Didn't have a long time.
Stephen.
But his life was a powerful witness.
Stephen.
Yeah. I don't really know how old Stephen was when he was stoned, but what about John the Baptist?
Right. Yeah.
You know, he was his early 30s, which may sound old to some people. you know, not how long, but how positive your witness is. It's the result of faithful stewardship. Yeah. Someone else, Haiti.
I was thinking of Abraham as well, because the Bible says that even the tribes surrounding him that didn't believe in the same God, they admired him and they thought very highly of him, like he was a great prince or something.
You know, and that's a great witness because he was not perfect. So that's an encouragement to us that you don't have to be perfect to be a positive witness, because God will forgive you when you do foolish things, which, and we won't name all of the foolish things he did, but he trusted God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, right?
Yes.
He walked by faith, even though he was not perfect. So what are some ways then, what do we learn from John 15? How do we make sure that our life is just the most positive witness to those around us?
Stay Stephanie? Connected to Jesus.
Stay connected.
That relationship.
Through? How can we
Bible
do that?
Bible study, prayer.
Huh? Read the Bible, especially?
Gospels.
Let's read the Gospels first, shall we? Because they're about Jesus, right? Now, Jesus said, they all testify about me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm shocked because I've taught a class on the life of Jesus for many years. Many people, even who grew up in a Christian home, have never read one of the Gospels.
Mm. Right. Mm.
Those are the four books about Jesus. And you grew up, and if you ask me, you're a follower of Jesus? Yes. So spend time in the Word. Spend time talking to Him. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Stay connected. Sean?
And I was just going to say, he left us an example. You know, in Matthew 28, he tells us to teach people of the things that he taught his disciples and to do the works that he did. Because as you read and pray, you actually got to go out there and do his will and, you know, comfort people and, you know, tell them obviously about him. So that's something to think about.
And that's really important. In other words, it's not just a passive, I want my life to be a positive witness, but actually going out and doing something.
Right.
In fact, the golden rule is very active. It says, go out and treat people the way you would like to be treated. It's not just saying if you don't like people being mean to you, don't be mean to them. No, go out and treat people the way you would like to be treated. That positive witness. Well, we come to our fifth result. We've looked at godliness, contentment, trust, and being a positive witness. But a fifth result of faithful stewardship is words of affirmation from Jesus. And I want to read with you a couple of words of Jesus, and then I want you to reflect on how that will impact you when we finally get there. Matthew 25. Nancy, if you could read verse 21, and someone else, if you're in 25, will read verse 34 for us. But first, 21, what does Jesus say there?
In the New King James Version, it reads, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'"
Now, I suppose we can't guarantee, Jesus was telling a parable there, we can't guarantee that that's exactly what the Lord will say to us. But there's a pretty good chance that, that he was using that as a prophecy about what would happen at the end, right? Well done. Good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's look at one other comment in verse 34 of Matthew 25. Tigis, could you read that for us? Matthew 25, verse 34.
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Matthew 25, 34 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.'"
Come. Blessed of my Father. Inherit. What does the word inherit imply?
Relationship. You're his children.
Ah, thank you, Haiti. It's not you have earned. It's not a wage. An inheritance is not something you earn.
Right.
It's something you receive because you are
related.
You're related. Your family. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. What do those two sayings, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, well done," what do both of those sayings have in common? What do you hear? Anybody? Look at them again.
There's a reward.
There's certainly this idea, a reward, yeah. There's affirmation, isn't there?
Right.
Does it sound...
There's joy.
I was going to say, does that sound kind of cold and informal to you? Or does that sound very intimate and personal? In fact, he may say, "Well done, Nancy." Not just good and faithful servant, B. "Well done, Nancy. Well done, Haiti. Well done." I got to say you all now, otherwise you feel like... but you know, doesn't this sound personal?
Very personal.
"Well done, good and faithful servant." How are you going to respond to that, Erica? Well done, Erica. Good and faithful servant.
Oh, I love that song, you know, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart..." I mean, I don't know. Will I jump for joy? I mean, I'm pretty...
Or in awe of you, be still.
Or just be still. I mean, I'm a pretty demonstrative person. Anyone who knows me knows that. And I just the thought of it from this perspective, from this darkened world, is just, you can hardly contain the joy of how you're going to respond. So I don't know.
That's... Don't know. Wait and see. What do you think? What do you think, Christopher? When he says, "Well done, Christopher."
Honestly, I think I would probably end up crying. You know, just think, because when you say something like that, especially coming from someone that you revere and respect so much, saying that you did a good job, knowing good and well, I did okay. Maybe. you know, that means a lot. It means a whole lot. And it makes me emotional thinking that Jesus would say, well done, Christopher. Yeah. You did good. You know, that means a lot.
What are you sure you're not going to say when he says, well done, good and faithful servant? What are you sure you're not going to say?
Why, thank you.
Well, you could say thank you.
No, but the intonation.
I know I'm not going to say, I did do rather well, didn't I?
Exactly.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
If I could speak at all.
Right.
I know I'm not going to say that. Yeah. Lourdes, when the Lord says, come, Lourdes, inherit the kingdom prepared for you.
I would just cry. I wouldn't even know what to say. I would just be broken, yeah. I don't serve it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cry. Yeah. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? But our tears are what one person called liquid prayers. Mm-hmm. You know? Thank you, Jesus. Nicole, well done, Nicole. Faithful servant.
I think it'd be like Christopher. I think I'd cry, actually. Yeah. Because I think that it would finally be a realization of something that I've strived for and asked him for my entire life. Yes. And it'll be something that I'm about to cry now.
That's okay.
I would probably cry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you think Jesus will respond to your reaction? What do you think?
Wipe the tears away.
Yeah. Embrace.
The Bible says he'll wipe every tear from your eye. So I expect a finger on my cheek.
Like he always has, with love.
Yeah.
Right.
With love.
A big hug.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
I think he looks forward just as much as we do. Like when... Yes. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow, and I have all these gifts, and, you know, she doesn't know what they are, and I can't wait to see her reaction, especially to one of them. And I think that Jesus is, we're looking forward to our reaction, but he's looking forward to our reaction.
Excited. Yeah.
He wants us to be that emotional. Mm. He's been preparing this for a long time.
I wonder what you're thinking as you're watching the team. Mm. Can you imagine? Mm. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Mm. Yeah. You say, it was all you, God. Amen. Glory to your name. Mm-hmm. And if there are tears, he'll wipe them from our eyes. Welcome home. That's the joy we have to look forward to. Amen. The blessed hope, being with him forever. Let's pray that each one of us here will be part of that joyful gathering. Amen. Father in heaven, we can't even imagine the joy that you prepared for us. You've saved us by your grace. You've called us to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God and the gifts of God. You've shown us today the results. The greatest is those words of affirmation. We'll give you all the glory and praise forever. May we share that good news with those who need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this journey on Hope Sabbath School. Can't wait for the day when the clouds roll back. We see Jesus. Why don't you tell people he's coming soon?